Good morning. Welcome in to the front porch here on this Wednesday. It is the second day of April 2025. And of course, Bing Burbiston with us.
Yes, yes. I'm glad to be here, Brian. We're looking for some changes in the weather, I hear.
Well, that's what everybody's talking about now.
That's good.
Everybody is. Everybody I've been talking to is kind of shook up, you know. Worried about the storms that's coming through tonight.
Yeah. Well, we're getting the rain. You know, we definitely are getting some rain, and it's predicted that we're going to get a lot more. So we'll just take what comes. If you got a slope in your yard, put a board across or some bricks. Keep it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing. I've been doing that for the last month, just terracing and trying to put retaining walls up. Because I am on a hill, and I just don't have any control of it right now. But you know, hopefully it'll come about.
Get it under control.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Bing, and like to mention real quick, coming up next week, a matter of fact, is our Thank You Jesus Friend Racer.
That's right.
And you're going to have a week off.
I guess you could say that, yeah.
Yeah, you're going to have.
I do enjoy coming up here for sure.
I know you do.
But, I'll be in prayer. I'll definitely be listening, asking the Lord to just soften people's hearts for the needs of missionary radio. I mean, it is something that we do purposely twice a year now, just to remind people that we are 100% listener supported.
That's it.
And we just need that support.
That's right.
But we trust God will provide, as we have since 1981, and He's always come through. But it is somewhat stressful. You know, we in our natural state, we do stress and we worry.
Why, yeah.
But in the inner man, we have complete faith in what God is going to do with the station, the purpose of the station, and just the need. This station in this area. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good time. It's a time where we invite people to come in and drop by, just see what's going on, meet the folks here, all that good stuff.
Yeah. That's it. And of course, if they want to give, you know, they can go to our website, missionary.radio, go donate in the top right-hand corner, or they can mail it in to us, Bing, and that's, of course, Missionary Radio. And that's P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
I'm glad you knew that, because if you ask me, I'd have a hard time answering that.
I won't do like Ken does me.
He drops a bomb on you every once in a while.
And I'm sitting here going, See, he's got one of these, we call them memories, that he can remember everything.
Oh, okay.
I'm just not that way. Okay. I have to look at stuff.
Don't tell me he has a photographic memory.
Must have, because he's pretty good at remembering
Okay.
He can remember all the frequencies, all the addresses, all this.
Yes,
I mean, he's just got one of those.
Yes.
You know, he does a real good job.
I guess for as long as he's been speaking those over the airways, it probably is embedded in that mind.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, anyway, Bing, where are we going today?
Well, we're going to where we've always been.
It
seems like. In the Word of God, actually.
Well, yeah.
We are being 2 Thessalonians. We're finishing up probably this will be the last front porch that I'll do on the Thessalonian letters. It'll be a good time to transition into something else as we go through the Easter time of the year. And I don't know what we'll do after that when we come back. But it'll be fresh, and I hope people will, you know, just gain something from the time that they listen and, to the program.
Sure. Absolutely.
We've been talking about in 1 Thessalonians, the return of Jesus at the rapture, and then in 2 Thessalonians, Paul is explaining to the people that Jesus' second coming is not the rapture. It's when he comes in and steps foot on the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem, at the time where the armies of the nations of the world are gathered around Jerusalem to take them out with the intent to just annihilate all of the Jews on earth. And we looked at some passages from prophets. The last time we left off, we were in Zechariah, and we'll be there. We'll pick up in Zechariah 12:9 when we get back from the break. But, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for your presence today. We thank you, Lord, that you are in control of all things. You are in control of the weather. We trust, Lord, that whatever you bring will accomplish what you purposed. Just this time of the year, we can't be surprised when we get a lot of rain. Spring is noted for that, and it's all in your design. So we love you, we trust you, and keep people safe. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus says in Matthew 6:21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This verse implies that what we value most, whether it's material wealth, relationships, or something else, will ultimately capture our attention and influence our actions. If someone values spiritual growth, their heart will be drawn to prayer, study, and service. If you desire following Christ's commission, then your investments will be in kingdom giving. For example, the average American pays $90 a month for cable TV, $156 for cell phone service, $303 a month for entertainment, while the average giving per churchgoer is $17 per week. It's estimated that only 2% of our listening family give to Missionary Radio to keep us on mission. Hi, I'm Ken Cummins, General Manager. We have an opportunity to change this statistic. Our Thank You Jesus fundraiser is Tuesday and Wednesday, April 8th through 10th. Will you join us in keeping Missionary Radio broadcasting with your generous monthly gift? Go online now to missionary.radio and click on Donate. Thank you.
Welcome back to the front porch here on this Wednesday morning. Bing Verbis with us.
Right, another Wednesday. We thank you, Lord, for this day. As I said before the break, we're going to open up our study in Zechariah 12:9. Now, I just want you to picture yourself here in the scene that's taking place. There's been a remnant, so to speak, of the Jews who have been caught between the advancing armies of Antichrist and the city walls of Jerusalem. And, of course, they retreat back into the city of Jerusalem. And it looks like it could be their complete end. It looks like Antichrist will have his way and take control of the land and make Jerusalem his capital and make the throne there his throne and rule the earth. But Zechariah 12:9 begins to show us, because of God's Spirit now hovering like the wind it does today, it blows where it goes, and nobody can see it, but it's there, and it's there among the people, and we see what appears to be the repentance of the nation of Israel for what they've done to their Messiah. And we'll see how that plays out. It says, "And it shall come to pass in that day," and this is God speaking, "that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem." Okay? "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced." Now, this tells us they're going to look upon, they're going to consider who, Brian, who was the person that the Jewish people pierced when he was there among them and walking among them? It was Jesus.
Jesus, yeah.
Jesus is the only one who still today displays the marks of those nail-pierced hands and feet and the spear that was thrust into his side when he was on the cross. And the verse continues, and this is something that is new. "And they shall mourn for him," the remnant there that are in Jerusalem, surrounded by the armies of Antichrist, will mourn for this person, mourn for Jesus. They're going to repent for what they did to Jesus. Yeah. And then it goes on to say in the verse, "As one mourneth for his only son." Okay, this is their only Messiah. "And it shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." So they are beginning to realize somewhere way back in the past as a nation, a mistake was made, and they are repenting for that. And that day there shall be great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hadad Rimmon in the valley of Megiddon. Now, what does that mean? Well, it was a place where Judah lost their beloved king Josiah in the past. He was in battle, and he was a very young and promising king. And the land shall mourn every family apart, the family of the house of David apart, their wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan apart, their wives apart, the family of the house of Levi apart, and their wives apart, the family of Shimei apart, and their wives apart. All the families that remain, all that remnant of every family that remains there, every family apart and their wives apart, are going to be a part of this mourning and this realization of what the nation has done. This describes a total repentance inspired by the Spirit of God that is to come upon the whole nation of Israel, and a total acceptance and dependency on their Messiah, Jesus Christ, now identified among the remnant that is there in Jerusalem as Jesus Christ, Jesus, while facing total annihilation by the armies of the world. Now, the question I had, did the message of the 144,000 finally sink into their hearts? Because there was a time during the tribulation period, 144,000, 12,000 from each tribe were preaching the good news of Jesus Christ to the people. Did the testimony of the two witnesses finally make them realize their mistake? Well, I don't know. It may have helped, but it was the Spirit of God, I believe, that was working among them in their final hours that the nation of Israel will become born again. That's exactly what's going on here. And Zechariah 13:1 reveals to us that Israel, because of their repentance, gains access to the fountain of living waters that they once denied. It says this, "In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness." Now, what other fountain is there for sin and uncleanness but Jesus Christ?
That's right.
Okay,
that's
let's
right.
go to verse 6. It says, "And one shall say to him," this is what they're thinking, "what are these wounds in thy hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends." So this is another clear reference to the person of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
All of these prophecies, all of the writings in their sacred roles, that were once a mystery to the nation of Israel concerning Jesus Christ, they're still a mystery today. Mm-hmm. And their blindness is in part because the Gentiles are doing the work of the kingdom of God. But at this time, in their final, which seems to be their final hours, this will become very, very clear to them. Mm-hmm. The purpose of the Great Tribulation, Brian, in the eyes of Antichrist, is to conquer and subdue the world, to remove anyone and everyone who will not take the mark of the beast, and to annihilate Israel so he can be worshipped as God by the entire rest of the world in Jerusalem. The purpose of the Great Tribulation in the eyes of God is to purge all the rebels and ungodliness out of the land of Israel before Jesus comes back to save them. Once again, God allows Antichrist and his armies to do this purging for him as Israel finally acknowledges Jesus Christ. Sometimes it takes very bad things to happen before we see.
Sure.
Before we see mm-hmm. what is going on and realize that God knows what he's doing. He has a purpose.
Right.
Now, Zechariah 13:2 tells us the names of the idols will be cut out of the land. The false prophets and the unclean spirits will be cut out of the land. Okay, and then verse 8 tells us this, "And it shall come to pass in all that land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die." So as the armies come in, there will still be people in Israel dying to defending the city. And then, "but a third," it says, "shall be left therein." So there'll be a third of that remnant left in the city of Jerusalem as this army advances. "And I will bring the third part through the fire," that's what God's saying, "and I will refine them as silver is refined, and I will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name as a result," the name of Jesus, "and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God." Wow. Now, how can we be sure they're calling upon the name of Jesus when they say, the Lord is my God? Well, by what chapter 14 tells us, what happens next after they call upon the Lord is my God. Verse 1 says, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, the houses rifled, the women ravished, and half the city shall go forth into captivity. But it says, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. They will be there. This tells us there will be a remnant, this residue trapped in the city of Jerusalem. There will be no place for them to flee because of the armies of Antichrist have completely surrounded the city. The remnant that is left in the city are those who call upon the Lord their God and are looking for his return. And then verse 3 tells us, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And before we go to pen from the heart, with that final thought, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. There shall be a very great valley, and half the mountain shall be removed to the north, half of it toward the south. This is where that third part, that remnant that is left, will flee the advancing armies of Antichrist and find refuge and safety. And we'll pick up there after we hear some good, encouraging letters from our listening family.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it.
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
Brother Ken and Missionary Radio, thank you so much for your service and faithfulness to our Lord. May you be richly blessed for giving your life to his service and our community. Love in Christ, a Nebo couple. From Clarksville, Missionary Radio, thank you for all you do. Your radio station has been a steady support for me and has helped me to stay strong in the Christian fight since 1990. And from Herndon, great Christian radio station, we love Joe Barner.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and penned from the heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
24/7 Missionary Radio.
And once again, on this Wednesday, it is the front porch.
All right. We left off in Zechariah 14, verse 3. We saw that Jesus will one day return and rescue the remnant in Jerusalem. He will stand on the Mount of Olives. That's told us clearly. And he will cleave that mountain in half, and he will create a chasm between the armies of the nations of the world and the remnant that is left in Jerusalem. And then verse 5 of Zechariah 14 says, and this is speaking to that remnant, and ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, this valley that is caused by now two mountains instead of one that has been cleaved. For the valley of the mountains shall reach to Azel, yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and the Lord my God shall come. Now, who is the Lord my God that is coming? Well, the verse continues, and this gives us a hint, Brian, because what we read in other parts of the Bible, Daniel for one, Revelation for one, it says, the Lord shall come and all the saints with thee. Now, what do you picture there? Well, what I picture is the sky opening up and light piercing through the darkness that is surrounding that area around Jerusalem, and you see Jesus coming back with his saints behind him. This is the army that is to come, that will save Jerusalem. Revelation 19:11 gives us another picture of the very same scene from the eyes of the Apostle John. Now, Apostle John saw a lot of things while he was on the prison isle of Patmos. He had visions of things that will be coming near the end and the end, and a lot of things of the tribulation period. And this is what he said. He said, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war." He goes on to say in his description, "His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood." And this is where we get the specific person that he's talking about. And his name is called the Word of God.
Yeah.
The Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that only fits for one person who's ever lived in this world, came from heaven, and that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And according to John 1, if you were to go to the Gospel of John, just look at the very first chapter. The Word of God is Jesus. "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, and all the saints with thee," is what Zechariah tells us, and this is it again. "And out of his mouth," Jesus' mouth, "goeth a sharp sword, that he should smite the nations." So we're getting a clear picture of what Jesus will do when he comes back the second time. The day is certainly coming when the nation of Israel will call upon Jesus. That day is certain. It is written. We're told it in God's Word. It just hasn't happened yet in the history of the world, but it will come.
Yes.
And when they do, another thing that's predicted, when they do, Jesus will come to their aid, and we'll be there with him, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you got your saddle gear.
Yeah, saddle geared up.
I don't think we'll need that. We'll be one with those horses.
Mm-hmm.
This army will be spectacular. And we'll get a description of that also when we get to the book of Joel. Now, in 2 Thessalonians, and we're actually in the Thessalonian letters, but we kind of go into other places in the Bible describing Jesus' second coming, it says in 2 Thessalonians 1:7, "And to you who are troubled," this is Paul telling them, "rest with us when the Lord shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels." So we can rest. Believers in Jesus Christ can rest knowing that that will happen one day. God will deal with all the wickedness and all the rebellion and all the darkness of this world one day in the future. We can rest. "When all the earth will be in confusion, panic, and turmoil because of the Lord's return, we are reminded in our temporary troubles how minor our troubles are when we look at the things that are going to happen upon this earth in the future."
That's right.
I mean, that just puts it in perspective. We are reminded to find rest in the fact that Jesus will bring perfect judgment to the world. A lot of times Christians will say, "Why hasn't he come back? Why is he not dealing with this?" Well, God's timing is not our timing. His timing is perfect. Ours isn't. He is steadfast. He is patient. And he is purposeful in what he's going to do and accomplish what he's going to do in the most perfect way. So we are to trust the events of what is going on in this world today. And sometimes we get down because the events are not as good as we would like them to be. They're rebellion showing in the streets of our city. There are demonstrations that people are shaking their fist today at God's chosen people.
Oh yeah,
at people who believe in the God of Israel. So 2 Thessalonians 1:8 says, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." So, back to Jerusalem, back to Jesus coming through the clouds. Immediately, this is what Jesus will do when he steps foot on the Mount of Olives outside of Jerusalem. as described by the Apostle John in Revelation 19:19. He says, "And I saw the beast," that's another name for Antichrist, "and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army."
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes on to say this. It doesn't even give us a lot of description of the battle here. It just says, "And the beast was taken." Antichrist was taken.
Mm-hmm.
"And with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both, the beast and the false prophet, were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone."
Mm-hmm.
"And the remnant," speaking of what is left of the armies of the world that were deceived, had the mark, bowed down to the worship of the image of Antichrist, were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. And then it goes on to say this, "And all the fowls were filled with their flesh." Now, Psalms 29:7 tells us this, "The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire." With that in mind, Brian, I want us to turn to Joel chapter 2, and we'll, if you can, go to Joel 2, starting in verse 1. And as we read this, tell me, has there ever been an army like this upon the earth, ever, before? Could this be describing the armies of the saints that followed Jesus back to the earth on white horses, clothed in white linens, when he returns to Jerusalem? Now, Joel 2:1 says, "Blow ye a trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and a thick darkness. As morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong, there hath not ever been the like, neither shall any more after it, even the years of many generations." It goes on to say, "And fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is like the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them desolate wilderness, yea, nothing shall escape them." Now, this is kind of showing that there is a definite difference, what lies ahead of them and what lies behind them. They are nothing is going to escape this army. "The appearance of them is the appearance of horses, and as horsemen, so shall they run." And we're going to have to break it right there in the middle of Joel 2:5 and Joel 2:6, because we have somebody knocking at the door wanting to some hope with
them. That's right. Johnny Erickson Tata, Sharing Hope.
Hi, I'm Shauna on Johnny Erickson Tata, Sharing Hope, with a little art lesson from Johnny.
And because I'm an artist, I always enjoy looking at the paintings of other artists. I can learn a lot from their technique and use of color. It's why I enjoy the paintings of Ron Deciani. He has a fascinating technique with his brushes, and I love the way he deals with light in his paintings. Ron's a pretty well-known Christian artist. He's illustrated books by Max Lucado. He's even illustrated several of my children's books. Now, I know you would recognize his artwork if you saw it, and actually you can see it by going to my radio page at johnnyandfriends.org when you have a minute. Okay, so I'm telling you all this because once when I was visiting his art studio, Ron Deciani invited me to take my pic of one of his framed prints. I could not believe this. I was so excited. Well, I took Ron up on his offer, and I began slowly wheeling past his paintings, which were displayed on various easels. Suddenly, I stopped in front of one. It was the scene from Luke chapter 8, where the woman, you know, who was hemorrhaging, reached out and touched the edge of the Lord's cloak, and she was healed. In the painting, Ron portrayed her on her hands and knees, with one arm stretched out as she was desperately trying to reach the hem of Jesus' garment. For a long moment, I stared breathless at the painting, and then, out of nowhere, hot tears filled my eyes, and I began sobbing. I had been struggling with pain all that week. And this painting, all the emotion I saw in this woman's eyes, the way her hand appeared to be trembling, all of it, described me to a T. Sitting there sobbing, I was oblivious to Ron and his family and all the other guests, and for several minutes, bless their hearts, they just let me cry. Never had I intended to bare my soul like that about the physical pain I'd been in all that week. The whole incident took me and everybody else by surprise. But after I stopped crying, I knew one thing. This was the framed print I wanted to take home. And today it's hanging in the room right next to my office at Johnny and Friends. And whenever I'm feeling a little overwhelmed by my wheelchair and the discomfort it brings, I go take a look at that painting. Now, maybe today I've touched a raw nerve. Perhaps you have been close to emotionally collapsing because of migraine headaches this week, or back pain, or a surgery that just hasn't healed right. Perhaps you've just been given a poor medical report and you're facing cancer or macular degeneration or ALS, and you are scared. If you are struggling like that today, pull out your Bible and read that beautiful story in Luke chapter 8. Picture yourself, imagine yourself as that woman in the crowd, a crowd of people all jostling and jockeying to get closer to God, but somehow, someway, God turns around and finds you in the throng. He finds you hurting and yet hoping to find help from Jesus. And guess what? He will not disappoint you. Romans chapter 5 says that the love of God never disappoints us. And now, with that wonderful promise in mind, reach out in heartfelt prayer to seek a fresh touch from the Lord, and He will answer, just as He answered me that day in Ron's art studio. Because as much pain as I was in, He answered my deepest heartfelt longing. He answered me with something far more precious than relief from my pain. He answered me with renewed hope, a brighter joy, and profound peace. These are the gifts you find when you touch the hem of Christ's garment.
And friend, you can see this remarkable painting today when you visit johnnyradio.org. Be inspired.
Hello, I'm Joe Barner, and in case you haven't heard, Missionary Radio's Spring Friendraiser is scheduled for April the 8th through the 10th. The theme song for this friendraiser is Josh Baldwin's Thank You, Jesus. I was drawn to the simplicity of the song, beginning with Thank You, Jesus, for finding me, reminding us that we have been sought out by the Good Shepherd. And then we say, Thank You, Jesus, for saving me. You took my place on that cursed tree. You died for sinners, but rose as the King. Thank You, Jesus, for loving me and setting me free. Oh, beautiful Savior, what else can I do but lift up my voice and say thank you? Well, now that we mentioned that, another thing we can do is to thank our Lord and tell others about Him. Partner with ministries like Missionary Radio that spread the Word of God. Do so through Missionary Radio, P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky 42241, or through our website, missionary.radio. 24/7.
All right. Now we're back in Joel 2, and I did read the first three verses of Joel 2. And before I go into verse 4, I just want to, again, ask this question. As we're reading this, I want you to think about this. Has there ever been an army like this upon the earth before? Okay. Now, this is speaking of the army that's following Jesus when He comes in to deal with the armies of the nations that are gathered around Jerusalem. It says this, the appearance of them, this army, is as the appearance of horses and horsemen, so shall they run. So that falls in line with what we've been told. Jesus is coming back and the saints will be riding white horses in their linens. Okay. This goes on to say, like the noise of chariots in the tops of the mountains, they shall leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, a strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. Now, this is speaking of the armies that are facing them. Mm-hmm. And it goes back to saying of God's armies, they shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. They shall march everyone on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall they thrust one another. They shall walk everyone in his path. And when they fall upon the sword, Brian, we're told they shall not be wounded. Okay? Mm-hmm. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And it goes on to say this, and the Lord shall utter his voice before his army. Mm. Whose army is this? It's the Lord's army.
Mm-hmm.
For his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Well, the answer is no one. Mm-hmm. No one who stands in front of this army can mm-hmm. abide it. All of the armies that are gathered around Jerusalem, and by this time they've entered the gates of Jerusalem, they've entered the buildings of Jerusalem. We can mm-hmm. see there are in buildings where these armies will climb up the walls, scale through the walls, into the windows, and deal with these armies. Mm-hmm. This is describing the Battle of Armageddon. This is what it's describing. And Jesus speaks the word during this battle, and the armies are defeated.
Mm-hmm.
2 Thessalonians 2:8 says this. This is speaking of the same scene. The Lord will consume them with the spirit of his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Easy for him, impossible for us. But that's what the Lord will do.
Mm-hmm.
So could it be, as Joel 2:11 says, and the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, and we will be used by his word, by his uttered voice, to defeat the physical armies of Antichrist? I think that could have something to do with it. But Jesus is going to deal with the spiritual demonic armies of Satan too at the same time,
mm-hmm.
and that will be by the spirit of his mouth. We really don't know how it's going to play out. We were talking about that.
Yeah,
we really don't know. We can read the scripture. We can assume things. We can picture things. But when the time comes, as we were talking off mic, I could see, you know, many people who study this will see, well, we were way off.
Yeah.
We weren't even close.
Mm-hmm.
Or
mm-hmm.
we may say, we got close, but we didn't quite nail it. Or we might say, you know, we might be surprised and say, oh, yeah. That's kind of the way that we assumed it would be,
mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
we won't know. After the Battle of Armageddon, Jesus locks Satan with chains in the bottomless pit and establishes reign on earth for 1,000 years. Okay, so he's thrown the false prophet Antichrist into the lake of fire.
Mm-hmm.
All the armies, they're gone too, but Satan. Satan, Jesus takes him and puts him in chains and locks him in the depths of the earth, the bottomless pit. But at the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ, Satan, we're told, is loosed on this earth again for a short time. And we see the final judgment, the great white throne judgment of all ungodly from all the time this earth has been in existence. And to see that, we're going to go to Revelation 20:10, and it tells us this. And the devil that deceived them, that deceived the nations of the earth,
mm-hmm.
okay, was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophets are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. That's the plight of Satan. That's where he is going. If Satan's bothering today, remind him of where he's going. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it. Now that's our God. That's the power of our God. That's the authority that God has over everything that is created. And if we are believers in Jesus Christ, we are one with that God. We are one with Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit in us.
Yes.
That should give us much authority and much power available to fight. For mm-hmm. the cause of the gospel of mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. It goes on to say, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great. Now, we're speaking of the great white throne judgment here. At the end of the 1,000 years, stand before God, and the books were opened, Brian, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. Okay? There were books open, but there was another book open, the book mm-hmm. of life. And it goes on to say, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, not the book, but the books, mm-hmm. according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works.
Mm-hmm.
And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, because it's empty now. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life, that book singular of life, was cast into the lake of fire. Now in Genesis, we go from Revelation to Genesis. 3:15, God told Satan this. After Satan led mankind to sin against God for the first time, he told him this: I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it, speaking of the woman's seed, shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now the woman's seed was the very first messianic prophecy in the Bible. The woman's seed was Jesus.
Yes.
That's who God is talking about. Adam and Eve didn't know that then. A lot of the Jews reading all of these books throughout their history knew of the woman's seed, but they didn't know it was Jesus. But Jesus was born of the woman's seed, conceived by the Virgin Mary after the Holy Ghost came upon her. Now, after that, Satan bruised Jesus' heel when he was crucified upon the cross of Calvary.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus, what we just read at the end, bruised Satan's head, mortally wounding him by first arising from the dead and then finally killing him by casting him into the lake of fire forever and ever. In Genesis 3, Brian, we see sin enter the world. In Revelation 20, we see the end of sin in this world. And not only that, but the world as we know it will also come to an end.
Yes.
Think of that. Think of that.
Mm-hmm.
We're not clueless of this, because 2 Peter 3:10 tells us this. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Peter's exhorting us to continue in holy things, holy citizenship, holy ways of doing things, and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements will melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, this is what we should be doing, folks. Look for the new heavens and new earth. Why? Because wherein dwelleth righteousness. We will find righteousness, not in this earth, not in the present heavens surrounding this earth. We will find righteousness, pure and holy righteousness, in what is promised to us as believers to come. So amen.
Amen.
And amen. Don't lose heart.
That's right.
Continue to be fervent in prayer. Continue to be a missionary for Jesus. Continue to be obedient to God's word. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this plan. Give us courage. Give us strength. Give us the ability, Lord, to do things in this world according to your Spirit's leading. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Bing. Thanks for listening to The Front Porch. And join us again tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.